I'd like you to turn with me back to the passage of Matthew chapter 11. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, and it is good to see each one of you this evening in the house of the Lord. We're going to read for sake of time tonight so that I don't keep you longer than you need to be here, from verse 25 down to the end of verse 30, down to the end of the chapter. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. The Lord will add his blessing to his word. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we pray that both speaker and hearer alike tonight may have teachable hearts. We may have that willingness to bow under the authority of thy word, and to hear and to rejoice in all that the Lord says. Grant to us that as we look into thy word this evening, that the Holy Spirit would exalt in our hearts the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ may be magnified and glorified in the midst of his people. And Father, we would pray that if there are any in this meeting who know him not, Father, even tonight they may come to know him, whom to know is life eternal. Bless us now, we pray, and be with us in the hearing of thy word. In Jesus' name, amen. I mentioned to you this morning that these verses do not contain two invitations, but one. What I'm going to speak to you about tonight is the words of verse 29 and 30, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. These are not separate from the invitation that we looked at this morning. They're not something that happens subsequent to conversion, after conversion, after coming to Christ. They are a description by the Lord Jesus of what it means when we come to Christ, of what takes place when we come to Christ. It's not that you get saved today and somewhere down the road you decide to take the Lord's yoke upon you. He's telling you that this is something that took place the very moment you were saved. It's not a second experience. It's not, as some would tell us, a crisis experience or a second blessing. It is an explanation of what happens to those who come to Jesus Christ, laden with their sin, burdened with their sin, and they find rest. And this really is a description of the rest that Jesus Christ brings. I want to suggest to you tonight that we need to learn that salvation brings us into a union with Christ. A union with Christ. Hudson Taylor, the great missionary, he wrote a book called Union and Communion. And it is a beautiful expression of the relationship that the Lord has brought us into, and a beautiful expression of the relationship that the Lord wants the believer to enjoy. That union with Christ and that communion with Christ as we live in this wicked and sinful world that God has left us in. The first thing I want to suggest to you is that, and I don't want to suggest it, I want to tell you. Because it is so tremendous, every believer should have it written upon their hearts. And it's this, that this union that begins the very moment we are brought to Christ, this union is a union for eternity. It is a union that can never, ever be dissolved. Never, ever be broken. Turn over with me to Romans chapter 8. In verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Beloved, I want to say to you tonight that the union into which we are brought when we come by the Spirit of God to trust Jesus Christ as our Savior is a union for all eternity. I had an interesting conversation with a lady recently, and she is a very prominent speaker in many of the churches in Sanford, and she came to me, and that way I can blame her because she came to me, and she said to me, Brother Joe, I've asked several pastors this, and I want to ask you, should I be preaching in a church on Sunday morning? You know why I didn't bring the subject up. And I said, well, the answer is very simple. The answer is no. How dare you? And I said, well, you asked me, didn't you? But I have sought the Lord and he has given me peace about it. And the Lord has given me a message, and other preachers tell me it's all right. And I said, well, Paul says to Timothy, Timothy, I suffer not a woman to teach. And she looked at me and I almost fell over, and she said, but I don't agree with everything Paul says. I do. Because I'm not going to get on the wrong side of the Lord. But I turned her to these verses and I said to her, Anne, you can't accept this tremendous assurance that God has given us that we can't be separated from the love of Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, I agree with that. But I said, but no, you can't. I said, because this is one of those places where the Apostle Paul says, I declare unto you. And if you're going to divide up what he says, God says, and what Paul says, and you're only going to accept what God says, you got to let this go. Because this is one of the things Paul says. Beloved, be careful when you're reading the Word of God. Be careful when men have their notes at the bottom of the Word of God and when men change the Word of God. God wants you, and I said this morning, He wants you to make sure you know what He says. And this relationship of being yoked to Jesus Christ, of taking His yoke upon us, binds us to Him, unites us to Him for all eternity, and no one and nothing can ever separate us from Him. No one or nothing can ever separate us from Him. Jesus says, take my yoke. Now, I've never seen two oxen yoked together. But that doesn't mean I don't know what the yoke does. The yoke, first of all, teaches them to walk together. Now that may be strange, but it's a very difficult thing to get oxen to walk together. And long before you ever put them out to work together, you've got to teach them to walk together. And when Jesus says that when we come to Him, heavy and laden with our sins, and we're taking our yoke upon Him who has given us rest, the first thing we're going to learn is that this union means we're going to walk together with Him. To walk together with Him. Every moment of every day. Every thought and intent of our heart, every desire and every plan has got to be determined by taking into account that we're yoked together with Jesus Christ and we're going to walk every single step of the journey with Him. Young people, I want you to remember that. Someone said to me recently, Joe, your son didn't start dating until he was 18 years old. Was that a rule? I said, no, I never really told him you can't date till you're 18 years old. He said, but how come he never showed any interest? And I said, I told him this. Son, you can date when you can sit down with Daddy and tell him what part the young lady you want to date plays in the will of God for your life. And when I talked to him, he said, Daddy, it wasn't worth the hassle. I wasn't being cruel and unkind. I had two young people from our fellowship come. And I looked at him and I said, Barry, you're a believer, aren't you? He said, yes. I said, well, you just sit quietly. And I turned to her. I said, give me your testimony. And he said, Mr. Gould, I said, Barry, I told you to be quiet. If she doesn't have a testimony for the Savior, you shouldn't be dating her. And he went home and he told his mom and dad every question I asked and every word of advice that I gave. Why? Because I was trying to teach him that when he's walking with Jesus Christ, he's got to walk with Him all the way. After you teach a yoke of oxen, you put the yoke on and you teach them to walk together, then you can teach them to work together. And I'm going to tell you one of the great problems, not only in our assemblies, But in the whole church of today, the people who aren't walking with Jesus Christ aren't working for Jesus Christ. They're away somewhere working for themselves, walking in their own paths, and they have forgotten and neglected the truth of the word that when they came to Christ, they were yoked together with Him. A young man came to me last year and he said, "I'm going to have to give up teaching in our Sunday school." I said, "Is that right?" He says, "Yeah." He says, "My life is just getting too busy." And I said, "Well, I've noticed you've not been at the prayer meeting as often as you used." "Well," he said, "I've had to give that up too." And I said, "Well, Jimmy, what non-spiritual things have you given up?" And he looked at me and said, "What do you mean?" And I said to him, "Well, if you're too busy for the things of God and to work for God, it must be because your life is full of things that aren't for God." "Well," he says, "I want to be a volunteer fireman." And I looked at him and I said, "Great. You're going to stand before Jesus and you're going to say, 'Lord, I pulled people out of real fires, but I didn't have time to tell them to make sure they never ended up in that eternal fire.'" A young man came back to me a few nights later and he said, "I talked with my wife and I decided to give up being a voluntary farmer and get back into the things of God and walk with the Lord." It's so easy to be diverted from walking with and working for the Lord. My brother Tom said to me one day, he said, "You realize that Christians believe in tithing?" He says, "They believe that all the work should be done by 10% of the people." Tithing. Everybody else's time is their own, except this little group who are called to work for the Lord. There's no little group called to work for the Lord except for Christians, the Church of Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you." And that's a description of what it means to come to Him with the burden of your sins. That's exactly when it happens. And it brings you into a union that is eternal and that teaches you to walk day by day and teaches you to work day by day in very close proximity to the Lord Jesus Christ. To the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a union that brings communion. I have got some young friends in our school who tomorrow will come in and hope that I won't talk to them because they're Carolina fans. They pick at me and I pick at them and we have a good time. But when Carolina lose, they don't like me to say anything. And sometimes we'll go for a walk in their PE period in the afternoon and we'll walk all the way along the road and I'll not say a word. It'll be the quietest 20 minutes of the day. You know, there are some people who think they can be Christians and walk with Jesus Christ and have their own reasons for never talking with Him. For never communicating, for having long periods of silence between them and the Master. And not only do they not speak to Him, but they don't listen to Him. They don't listen to Him. Taking a Bible study every other Thursday night with our young converts at Sanford, And one of the things I've been trying to teach them is listen to God, don't listen to people. One of them came to me after the meeting last Thursday night and he said, "Joe, when are we going to have our baptismal service?" And I said, "Sometime in March." "Why?" He said, "Well, I want to be baptized as soon as possible." I said, "What's your hurry?" He says, "Well, I'm working with a guy and he told me that it said in John's Gospel chapter 3, that except you're born of water and of the Spirit." And he said, "Now you've been born of the Spirit, John, but because you've not been baptized, you've not been born of water." And I said, "John, why do you listen to people like that? Why don't you come to the Word of God and find out from the Word of God what it means to be born of water?" And we turned over to the book of Titus, and we turned over to the book of Peter, and we shared with him what the Word of God says. And he put his head back and he said, "Thank you, Lord, I've been so worried about that." Why? He was listening to people, but not listening to what the Word of God said. Listening to that glorious opinion of wise men of this world. You know, this world is full of people who can be Christians without ever reading their Bible, without ever taking it seriously, without ever walking in obedience to what God says. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you. Let me bring you into a relationship of union that is eternal and communion that is day by day. Step by step, listening to me, talking to me, walking with me. Take my yoke upon you." And then he says this, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Tell me, are you learning of him? I stopped when I was preparing this message and I thought to myself, what kind of things does the Lord want us to learn? What kind of things does the Lord want to teach us? And I just wrote some down. Turn with me to John 15. One of the most humbling statements in the whole Bible, and yet one of the most comforting. John 15 and verse 5, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing." I want to say to you tonight, one of the first lessons the Lord wanted to teach the disciples was that serving him didn't mean running off in their own strength and doing what they thought was right and what they thought needed to be done, and bringing in all the world's wisdom to do the work of God. Jesus says the first thing you've got to remember when you're walking with me and you're working for me is this: if you want to be fruitful, you're going to have to learn, without me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. You don't serve God in the power of the flesh. You don't do God's work according to earthly wisdom. Without him, without his leading, without his empowering, without his teaching, without his ministering, you and I couldn't cause an anxious thought in the mind of one individual. And that's the truth. Without him, we can do nothing. I remember the first time I preached. Friday night young people's group at Ballysillan Gospel Hall. I had my notes all in order. I'd gone over my message 100 times. That night, there were a group of young people in the back misbehaving. Really made it hard to concentrate. I got up and I had my Bible flapped open like that, and I dropped the bottom end of it, and my notes went flying all over the floor. I didn't know what order they should be in. I didn't know what order I wanted them in. I was going to speak for 30 minutes. I spoke for about 12 minutes. I closed in prayer and I turned to the brother that worked with me and I said, I'm going home. You close up on your own tonight. I'm going home. I went home and I wept. Lord, I'll let you down. Lord, I'll let you down. Lord, I could have done so much better than that. I'll let you down. And while I'm saying that, the doorbell rang, and I went to the door. There were two young men, a young man called Bill Walmsley. And he said, Mr. Gould, this young man came to the meeting with me tonight. You didn't meet him. He came in late. But when you finished speaking tonight, he turned to me and he said, I don't know Jesus as my Savior. And I'd like to know him. And he said he got saved tonight, Billy McComb. I went back up to my bedroom and I wept. And I said, Lord, it's not me that does it. I learned this the hard way. That without him, you and I can do nothing. But then you've got to learn, and he wants you to learn the very opposite of that, which comes in Philippians 4:13, which says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You know, I love using that in marriage counseling. When a woman tells me, or a man tells me, I can't love my partner anymore, I say, no, 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 no. You can't say that. Jesus says you're telling lies. Why? Because Jesus says, and Paul tells us, that you can do all things through him. All things. And what you're really saying is, not that I can't love him anymore, it's that I won't love him anymore. And what you're really saying is, Jesus, I won't obey you. I won't obey you. I won't listen to what you're trying to tell me. Jesus, I won't learn from you. And oh, if we only realize that in so many areas of our lives, Jesus says you can do nothing without me, but with me you can do all things. All things. My wife went to Australia when her father was dying, and she called me on the phone and she said to me, Joe, I can't talk to my daddy about the Savior. He never let me when I was living at home. He never let me when he was well and healthy. And I just can't go in. And I said to her on the phone, I said, darling, you don't have a choice. You've just got to get alone and say, Lord, I can't do it, but you can do it through me. Next time she called me, she said, Joe, when I spoke to Daddy about the Lord Jesus, he began to cry. And that was just before he passed into eternity. We don't know what those tears meant, but I know what they meant to a young woman who loves the Lord, who would have been devastated had she never spoken to her father about her Savior. I told that story in Burlington one night. A young woman came to me and said, I'm going to visit my mom right now. She's the only person in the world that I cannot talk to about the Lord. My telephone rang that night, and at the other end of the phone was this young woman weeping with joy. She said, I took I took the Lord at His word tonight, and I witnessed to my mom. And my mom, when I began to witness to her, she sat down. And she began to cry, and she said, I hear you talking to everybody you know about Jesus Christ, and yet you never talk. I began to wonder, did you not care whether I ever got saved or not? And her mother trusted Jesus Christ that night. Beloved, Satan says, your mom and dad are the hardest people to witness to. You take God at His word and you witness to them anyway. And you trust God to do the work. And if it's not your mom and dad, it's your friends at school. Well, they all go to church. They don't want to hear. Listen, Jesus said, I want you to learn from me that without me you can do nothing, but with me you can do everything. There's nothing you can't do. Second thing I thought of that Jesus would teach us if we really walk with Him and want to learn from Him, is the need to love Him as Lord above everything else. I see these number plates or these license plates that say, I love my church. Don't see many that say, I love my Savior. I love my Lord. I remember being at the Lord's table in the little church in Liverpool. My brother got up and he began to pray, and suddenly he began to weep. And he began to pour his heart out in love to Jesus, and suddenly he stopped. And he took a handkerchief out of his pocket and he began to dry his eyes, and he said amen and he sat down. And I said to him the next night, I said, Kenny, what happened when you were praying yesterday? Well, he says, I just get carried away telling the Lord how much I loved Him. And I began to cry. And I began to tell Him even more how much I loved Him. And then I realized that all those people were listening. And I stopped. And I said, I want to tell you that was so precious to me. And that was so precious to the people of God to hear you unashamedly weeping in love for Jesus Christ. But Satan tells us we shouldn't be like that. We shouldn't be like that. I worked with a guy who was a Pentecostal. He was saved. And I used to go in every morning and he used to shout over to me, tell me, Joe, do you love Jesus? And the first few times he did it, I kind of said, yeah. And then I learned when he shouted, tell me, Joe, do you love Jesus? I would shout to him, absolutely, I love Him with all my heart. Tell me, David, do you love Him? The people in the factory thought we were mad. And it's amazing how many people think that you can be yoked together, united to Jesus Christ, walk with Him every day, work for Him every day, and never learn to love Him. That's for special Christians. No, it's not. It's for every Christian. For every Christian. But you know the hard thing about coming to love Jesus? It means you're going to have to go through the results of loving Him. Turn back with me to John 15. Verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Love for Jesus Christ will always produce a desire to obey His word. His word. And I'm going to say this, and I'm not being critical in any way. There are very few believers today who know what it is to have a heart's desire to humbly bow under the authority of the Word of God. And just say, Lord Jesus, even when I don't understand it, even when I find it hard, I'm going to obey it because I love you. If you love me, keep my words. Keep my words. But not only if we love Jesus does it bring us into that place of obedience to his word. And it's hard to be disobedient when you're walking side by side with him and step by step with every step. But it means you've got to love his people. Do you know what some of God's people are like? Do you know how hard they are to love? I know some ungodly people who have no desire to hear the gospel, and they're easier to love than some Christians. And I say that guardedly because I might be one of those Christians that's hard to love. But Jesus says, listen, I don't give you a choice. If you love me, you're going to love one another. And this dark, sinful world is going to know that you love me by the way they see you loving one another. You can tell them how much you love Jesus every minute of the day. But if they don't see a love for the people of God in your life, they're never going to believe it. I read a little poem just the other day. I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather see people living what they profess. And the result of loving Jesus is that you let go of this world and you set your affections on things in heaven. We have a young man. And when I first met him, I realized that all the other teenagers at the Christian school were picking on him. So I decided I'm going to befriend this young man. And then I found out the reason they're picking on him is that at 16 years old, this young man said, God has called me to preach. And I'm going to spend all my time in study. And when I graduate school, I'm going to go to Pensacola College and I'm going to study to serve God. And all the other young people, even in a Christian school, they thought this was hilarious. I want to tell you something. There are few young men of 18 years old that I have ever met whose lives are marked with such dedication to Jesus Christ and such godly standards as that young man. 18 years old, and when I was going to the workers' conference, I said to him, Jay, I'd like you to preach for me Wednesday night. And when I came back from the workers' conference, my telephone never stopped. Singing the praises of an 18-year-old who desired to work for Jesus Christ in telling out his word. A young man who has set his affections on heavenly things, not on the things of the earth. And Jesus says, if you're yoked to me and you're going to walk with me and you're going to work for me, I'm going to teach you and you're going to learn these things from me. But he says, I want to give you the prerequisite. And with this I'm going to finish. He says, back into Matthew 11, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Have you ever stopped to realize the type of person you would become through walking with Jesus Christ day by day and becoming like him? No proud arrogance about my Savior. meek. Now that doesn't mean weak. That means strength under control. Lowly in heart. That means that he who deserves the highest place was willing to take the lowest place. That means that he who is exalted above all was willing to become the servant of all. You know what the human heart's like? The disciples walked with Jesus, the meek and lowly, and they walked alongside him arguing who was going to be the chiefest in the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus explained it to them. If you want to be great in the kingdom of heaven, you've got to become the servant of all. Study I've enjoyed in the weeks that have gone by is Isaiah writing about the servant of the Lord. And the first thing you've got to do in Isaiah 42 is identify him. And you can identify him so clearly as the Lord Jesus Christ. And if he is the servant of all, and I'm going to walk with him, then I've got to be willing to become like him, the servant of all. Let me challenge you. As you go out into another week that God has given us, wherever this week takes you, make it your purpose to remember that you are yoked together with Jesus Christ. That means you're going to walk with him every step. Beloved, live your life accordingly. Speak your words accordingly. Use your mind accordingly. Walk unashamedly. As one who walks, yoked together with Jesus Christ. Learn from him. Learn to become the person that he wants you to be. Let's pray together. Our God and our Father, we thank thee for the great truth of the union that we have with Jesus Christ. The privilege that we have, every believer walking with him day by day. Father, if we really believe this, how it would transform our lives and change our hearts and our attitudes. Stop us being like the people of the world round about us. Cause us to be like a Savior. Father, I pray not only for those who hear, but for my own heart, my own life, that we may walk as those who walk with Jesus Christ. We ask it in his lovely name and for his glory.